Good morning, church. For those of you that have known me for 5 minutes or so, I can be somewhat excitable. I got a little extra juice today. My palms are sweaty. I did not eat my mom's spaghetti. Half of you were there already, so we just had to say it out loud. But yeah, my palms have been sweaty this morning because I'm going to say something that's going to make you really excited or really nervous. I don't know yet. But it may be upset. We'll see. But I'm excited about it. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we humble our hearts before your throne. We thank you for today. We thank you for allowing us to sing songs that glorify your name. We're grateful for these songs, Father, that just open the eyes of our hearts and just renew our hope in being with you. And Father, we're thankful for being reminded today of the sacrifice that your Son made for our sins. And we're also very thankful for given entrance into your table and having your attention and your time and your love. And Father, we are grateful for your Holy Scriptures and your word and what you have spoken, because it is true. And truth doesn't change and truth doesn't go away. Father, what changes is us. And I pray, if we're going to change, that it will be for the better. Father, today I pray that for each and every one of us, that you increase our faith. I pray that we see you more clearly. And I pray, Father, that in each other, we will see more of you. Help us as we read and study together. We pray, Lord, that you fill our hearts with Jesus so that we can better understand and live the fullness that you have made possible. We pray in your Son's holy name. Amen. Life can be hard. We are very familiar with pain and stress and pressure. And you know what else is hard? Trying to be like Jesus. It's very difficult trying to be like Jesus. Because when we try to be like Jesus, one of two things usually happens. Number one, we fail. And we feel bad about it. And then we beat ourselves up. And then we ask God, why can't I just be more like Jesus? Why can't I love that person? Why can't I forgive that wrong? Why can't I just stop doing that sin? Why can't I just be better? Why can't I put others above myself? So I'm trying to be like Jesus, and I fail. And then I feel bad. And I either try harder or I give up. Well, the other side, I try to be like Jesus, and I get good at it. And I'm trying to be like Jesus, and you know what? I don't do that sin anymore. And I'm trying to be like Jesus, and you know what? I'm nice to that person that no one else is nice to. And I'm trying to be like Jesus, and I'm coming to church and I'm doing the right things. You know what? I think I'm getting the hang of this. I'm doing great. I'm starting to look like Jesus. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Those are both terrible. And here's the truth. It's kind of difficult. You cannot try to be like Jesus. It's impossible. It's impossible. Now, and some of you may go, oh, whew. And some of you may go, I can't do. Wherever you're sitting, I think we will all be addressed this morning. But church, look, here's the thing. We can't try to be like Jesus. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And guess what? It doesn't get you anything. If you've been a Christian for a while, or if you've just been a good person for a while, say, well, okay, Michael, I know I'm not perfect. Jesus is perfect, but I'm really good. I'm really close. I've almost got it. You don't understand holiness. You don't understand holiness because holiness is without spot or blemish. Right? You can't be like, well, I'm like 98% like Jesus. But I know we have a lot of teachers in here. 98 on a test is pretty good. But anything short of 100 when it comes to holiness gets you what? That's right. It's pass fail. It's pass fail. Turn your Bible over to Matthew chapter 5. And if you stick with me, I assure you that wherever you land, if your Christian life is one that is of constant disappointment and despair of how far away you are from being like Jesus, or if your prideful heart needs to be taken down a peg or two because you are so close to being like Jesus, I think we're all going to get something good today. In Matthew chapter 5, look what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. All right, so Jesus, and if you're not familiar, these words in red in your Bible are a part of a larger sermon. And this is Jesus, basically his introduction sermon. And he has been baptized by John, and he's starting his public ministry, and now he has got a crowd around him, and he is just letting them know, hey, look, this is what God looks like. I mean, because he's been there. This is who God is, what God is like, and you're supposed to be his people, so this is what you need to look like. And so he shows up and he goes, hey, everything that God has done up to this point, do not think that I'm just showing up to go, oh, well, that's all gone. I'm just going to erase all that. It's over. He said, I didn't come to erase them. I came to what? Fulfill them. To bring them to completion. That everything that God has done up to that point, from creation until Jesus. Jesus says, I am here to fulfill this. To bring it to completion. Now, we're going back to those percentages. Okay, sorry. With modern education, you've probably had a test that there were bonus questions, right? You've got a 102, a 105. What happens when you pour more water than the cup is able to hold? It spills, it overflows, right? Right, cup can only be full, right? Okay. 100%, if we're just keeping with the analogy here, 100% is the only way it's possible. A 4.8 GPA is not reality. It's not, because a 4 is the top of the cup. All right? 100 is to completion. But again, we live in a world of 4.8 GPAs because I know some classes are honors classes and some teachers give bonus questions. But 105 is not possible. 100 is full. Jesus says, I am here to fulfill, to bring it to completion. Right there. Now, that tells me a couple things. Number one, I can't add to the work of Jesus. Right? I cannot just jump on top of what Jesus has done, stand on his shoulders and say, look at me, Lord. I'm so good. No. And I can't also, because this whole thing, as we are fellowshipping with Christ, as we are experiencing a deep connection with our Lord and Savior through his Holy Spirit, we can't take away from it either. But again, a lot of us just fall into that trap of I'm trying to add to what Jesus does, or I'm taking away from what he does. And both of those miss the mark. He has fulfilled what God is doing. Now, the amazing thing about Jesus, the amazing thing, and I guess I need to go. I need to go back to verse 20. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, show of hands. Anybody have a general idea of who he's referring to? Scribes and Pharisees? We know. Okay. The super religious. Okay. I mean, these were the people that were trying. Every iota, every dot, they were trying to follow everything. I mean, just. And he goes, hey, unless you're better than them, you're not going to make it. Now, when you hear this, if you show up to church and say, hey, you see Terry? Terry's a super Christian. Terry is a super Christian. If you are not more righteous than Terry, you do not have a chance to make it to heaven. Terry and I are going to get real lonely next Sunday, if that were the truth, right? Because everyone else is going to go, well, why bother showing up? I can't be as religious as Terry. I can't do that. That's the salvo that Jesus has just thrown out to everybody listening to him. Think of the best example you can think of, and if you can't match that, you're out of luck. What? But Jesus does two things in this whole sermon. I'll invite you to go this week. Read it. Matthew 5 through 7. Read a sermon. Get it in your heart. It's good stuff. Now, it's not just good stuff because he shows you what God's law looks like and what a life pleasing to God looks like, but it also shows you the heart that God was always trying to get to. Not just following the rules, not just doing the right thing, not just living a life of, well, I don't hurt anybody, so that's love. No, because the life and the death of Jesus Christ shows us that not hurting others is not love. That love is a willingness to die for others. Love is a willingness to actually say no to me and yes to them. So Jesus shows us all of this in this lesson. And, boy, avoiding sins, bringing love to completion. And church, I'm just gonna let you know, we can't be like Jesus in our bodies by avoiding the sins in God's law. We've all sinned. And we can't be like Jesus in our hearts by loving everyone completely, by sacrificing for everyone for all of their needs, by showing grace and mercy and forgiving everyone. I mean, we're talking about not just, yeah, someone said something wrong to me and I did forgive them. I forgive everybody, Michael. I mean, I'm talking about not even having a poor thought about the clown who cut you off in traffic. In an instant of frustration. You can't love everyone in your heart like that well. That's how Jesus loves. That's not how we love. We get frustrated. We don't even love our spouses and our kids as well as Jesus loves. Because they frustrate us. We get upset. No. I've forgiven them for everything. Right, but how about that afternoon that wasn't comfortable at your house because you just wanted to stomp around or sit in it for a minute? That wasn't Jesus. That was you. So when we're really honest with ourselves and we realize I can't be as good as Jesus and following all the rules. I can't. I break them. And I can't be as good as Jesus because I just don't love everyone else as good as Jesus loves everyone else. I don't. I don't have it in me. Church, we cannot try to be like Jesus. So here's the good news. You ready? We have to die to ourselves and let Jesus live in us. We have to die to ourselves and let Jesus live in us. That's the key. That's the key. A very good-looking church will have a lot of people show up trying to be like Jesus. But God's church has a lot of people showing up and confessing to God, to themselves, and to each other, yeah, I can't be like Jesus. But I don't have to be because Jesus died for me. And again, I know what some of you are thinking. Michael, quit trying to relax all the laws. I'm not. I read the words. I know what we read. Jesus said, I'm not trying to take them away. I'm not trying to relax it. I'm showing you how difficult it is. I need you to look at yourselves. I need you to be honest with yourselves. I have to be honest with myself. I cannot try to be like Jesus. I will fail every single time. Which, again, if you are a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, you have died to yourself. You have died to your sins. You have been reborn. You have been made a new creation where it's no longer just you, but what? I've been crucified with Christ. So it's not I who live, it is Christ who lives in me. So we're not just a bunch of nice people who like to come together on Sundays and try to be good. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because our righteousness will never surpass that of the scribes and the Pharisees. We are not reading our Bible as much as them. We are not dividing. We are not going through our pantries and dividing our spices to the percentages to make sure we give God what He is due. We don't do that. Our righteousness doesn't come close. But the good news is, we have been crucified, we have died to ourselves, and now Jesus lives in us. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Now the good news is we're trying to figure this out, and we're trying to do this, trying to be like Jesus. If you haven't caught it yet this morning, I really want you to stop trying to be like Jesus. And I know this is being recorded, and we might get some hate for this. Did you hear that, church? They said, quit trying to be like Jesus. Yeah, I want you to quit trying to be like Jesus. All right? It is, they call it a fool's errand. You will lose. You will lose. But unfortunately, I think too often you and I get stuck in the practice of trying to be like Jesus. Look what the Apostle Paul says here in Romans chapter 7. Go down to verse 21. Romans 7, 21 says, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Paul is saying, look, this is a tough game because I love God so much and I read His Bible and I want to do right and I want to, and it's all good and I love Him so much, but yet, when I'm honest with myself, I'm not that guy. I sin. I mess it up. And that is a horrible place to be in, right? I'm trying to make God happy and it seems like I can't because I can't be perfect. God is holy, and His holiness is complete, without spot or blemish. And I want to be there. Oh, you don't know how much I want to be there. And yet, I fail. And so Paul himself says in this letter to other believers, this is a horrible place to be. I am wretched. This is awful. It's frustrating. It's sad. It's scary. It's painful. I want to be so close to him. I want to be so much like him. And I can't. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I can't get the perfection right, so what do I need to get right according to those two simple verses according to Paul? What do I need to get right? Because I can't get the perfection right because I messed that up, so what do I need to get right? What have I got to get right? Well, number one, I have a humble heart. I know it's not me. I can't do it. And number two, I have a grateful heart because Jesus has died for my sins and saved me from this whole mess. We are not a very amen-y church, but that would be the right time for a room full of amens, right? Thank you. You're not amening me. I'm not putting those in my pocket going, no. We're amening the truth of God. Because you and I do not live that crazy religious game of going, I love God so much and I'm trying so hard. I'm just trying to be like Jesus. But I can't. He knows. No one can be like Jesus except... Thank you. Which is why our confession is not ourselves, it is Jesus. He is the one who did it. He brought it to completion. And then he's the one that paid the price for all of our sins. He goes on, chapter 8. There is therefore, if these things are true, let's just say they're true, just this morning, okay? Let's just suspend disbelief. Let's just say that this is true, okay? Because if it is true, here's the conclusion Paul's going to come to. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen again. For the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life. That's our law. The Spirit of life. It has set us free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the thing of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, there's a lot there, and we're not going to, you know, I'm not going to just peel every layer today. I want you to do some peeling. Get your knife out. It's like an onion. It's going to make you cry. You get through these layers. This is big stuff. This is big stuff because you and I, and a lot of times we read that and go, well, of course, sinners don't submit to God, so sinners can't please God. Well, guess what? When you and I are relying upon our own righteousness, what are we not doing? We're not submitting to God. We're not trusting what He has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is not just the world that gets this wrong. A lot of people get this wrong. A lot of them and a lot of us. But verse 9, talking about us, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are in the Spirit of God, excuse me, you are in the Spirit of Christ, according to the God's law of his spirit, that is the law of life, if what is true, if his spirit dwells in you. So his spirit dwelling in us is kind of important, kind of a big deal. In fact, his promises rest on it. Anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not even belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So, we have got to escape this trap of I want to do good, but I don't. God has sent his Son as our Savior. Jesus died to set us free from death and sin and this trap of self-righteousness. So what do? We live in the Spirit. We submit to God because the Spirit is life. All right, let's turn back over to Acts chapter 14. Because if you've been here for a while, you know we're going through the book of Acts. I didn't forget. I just had to say all of that to say this. Acts 14:22. We read this story last week because Paul's going through and some Jews are chasing him from town to town. He's sharing the gospel and they're trying to say, hey, this guy's a liar. He's not telling you the truth. They finally catch up to him. And once they catch up to him in Lystra, what do they do to him? You remember the story last week? That's right. They stoned him. That includes small and large rocks thrown at him. And they left him for dead. And he wasn't dead. He's alive. He's alive and he gets up. And we did talk about this part. Paul gets up from being killed, even though they weren't successful. And he goes on and he goes back to all the cities where all these people were chasing him down. And in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So, Paul's alive. He is encouraging. I mean, he's standing up in front of other Christians. They've all seen what happened to him by his enemies. And he gets up and he says, hey, look, you need to be faithful. All right? It's worth it. It's worth it. Now, I don't know about you, but sitting in that audience, I've been like, man, if that guy thinks it's worth it, I guess it's really worth it. I just saw what they did to him. And he's standing up and he's not running home. He's not quitting. He's not throwing his hands up in the air going, ugh, this is hard. Life's hard. Y'all are on your own. Good luck. That's not what Paul does. What does Paul do? Paul says, all right, let's keep going. Well, Paul, don't you want a break? I mean, like you were just covered in heavy stones and boulders. No, I'm good. Let's go. Let's go. I got work to do. That work must be important, Paul. Must be. Yeah, it's kind of important. It's what God has done for me. It's what God has done for all of you. Let's go. And so he encourages them. He encourages them in the message that he gives them, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom. Now, this message, through many tribulations. If you're a fan, and we're going to focus on this word tribulations, the word is, ready? Phleepsis. I know. If you're writing in English, T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S. That's as close as I can get. Phleepsis. Funny little word. Funny little word, all right? It's an interesting word, though. And really, it means trouble, anguish, burden, suffering, tribulation. It means all these things. But the best thing, the best translation that it means, you ready? Pressure. Pressure. And that's the one I'm riding with this morning. It is through much pressure in this world that we must survive to enter God's kingdom. Oh, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense because I want to enter God's kingdom. I want to be with him forever, as do you. And as I'm trying to get there, I'm facing a lot of pressure. You're facing a lot of pressure. And church, the choice just comes down to us is what's going to happen to us when pressure is applied. I know what happened to Paul. Paul got up, he got up and kept going. What happens to you? What happens to you when pressure is applied to your faith? What happens to you when people at your work are doing and saying things they shouldn't be? And that pressure is just right there. Even if you're the only one in the room feeling it, that pressure's there. Do you go along with them or do you make a stand? What do you do when that pressure is applied? When someone that you love is just, they just might be offended by the gospel of Jesus. What happens to you when a little pressure is applied to do the right thing when no one is looking? What happens to you when a little pressure is applied at school and your parents probably won't even find out what a fool you are acting today? What happens to us when pressure is applied? Because it can either break us or it can strengthen us. And that's the question. That's the question. It is through much pressure that we must enter the kingdom of God. Church, if we are not of this world. We are not of this world. We have a heavenly origin. We have a Father in heaven. And as we live with Jesus, as we live towards Jesus, this world tries to push us in different directions. And we're all tempted in different ways because some of us, we are pressured to lose hope, right? The enemy pressures us to go, hey, feel sorry for yourself. His promises can't be that good because, hello, look at your life. It's hard. Give up. That's pressure. That's pressure. Some of us are just pressured to sin. Hey, don't pray. Why would you pray? Now's not the time for prayer. Now's the time for action. Or some of us are pressured to, hey, just take the edge off. Turn to something else. Don't trust God in this. Trust someone. Trust something. Pressure. All of us are pressured. What's going to happen to us when we're pressured? Is it building something stronger, or are you and I going to get crushed? Hey, the bad news is pressure can destroy you. The good news is pressure can make you immovable. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Scotty read for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning. And it says in chapter 4, verse 8, God has filled our hearts with the light of Jesus. God has filled our hearts with the light of Jesus. So again, I'm going to go back to my original statement this morning. We cannot try to be like Jesus. And the good news is we don't have to. We don't try to be like Jesus. We simply let the light of Jesus shine in us. You see the difference? And we may not all walk out of here this morning seeing the difference clearly. But that's the difference. That's the difference. Because if we're stuck in that horrible cycle of trying to be like Jesus, we're frustrated. We're either frustrated or we're so self-righteous we don't even know to be frustrated. Two dangerous spots. But see, God has put the light of Jesus in us. So now we need to actually get out of the way. We need to get out of the way. We need to let the light shine in the darkness. And that's what it says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, this is really amazing. So he says, let light shine out of darkness. And then in the very next words are, he has shown in our hearts. Where's the darkness? Yeah, that's right. That's the darkness that he's shining out of. In verse 7, of course, keeps us humble. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Look at verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. That word in verse 8, afflicted, it's the same Greek form of the word we're talking about, phlepsis, pressure. Which kind of makes sense because pressure is being applied to us, but we are not what? We are not crushed. We are not crushed. If we're going to be filled with the Spirit of Christ in this world, we're going to feel the pressure. It's pushing at us from every direction. But we are not crushed. We are not crushed. And so Paul says here in his letter to Corinth, we don't despair. We're not forsaken. And we are not destroyed. When you are put in pressure, even difficult pressure, God has not left you. When the world around you is just pressing against you and just challenging your faith, you are not forsaken. You are not forgotten. And if you are still drawing breath, you are not destroyed. So, let's look at some wonderful examples that we have. And I love this. I love this. Did Paul give up when he was stoned? Did Joseph give up when he was sitting in jail for a crime he didn't commit before God could bring him to the second most powerful person in the known world? No, he did not. Hey, was Daniel forsaken in the lion's den? No, he was not. No, he was not. Oh, hey, was David destroyed by the giant, the Philistine? No, he was not. Was David destroyed when Saul and his forces were trying to hunt him down and he was hiding in caves? No, he was not. You see how pressure is used to try to get us to give up and quit? But when pressure is applied to us, we are not forgotten, we are not forsaken, we are not loved any less, we are not destroyed, we are not broken. Pressure did not crush our favorite heroes in the Bible. It strengthened their resolve. And church, we must resolve to let Jesus live in our lives by the Spirit. So this morning, I'm encouraging you to stop trying to be like Jesus and just let Jesus live in you. Quit trying to be like Jesus because you will fail. You will fail. Jesus lived like Jesus. Jesus fulfilled everything that God has ever given us. Our job is to let Jesus live here. You know the frustration of trying to be like Jesus. You know the mistakes that you make. You know how sorry, how many prayers you've offered up to God. Lord, I apologize. I know I just apologized for that yesterday, and here I am again today. Lord, I apologize again. And apologizing to the Lord, I'm not telling you not to do that. I do that on a daily basis. But when I apologize to the Lord, I'm learning to say, Lord, hey, I know the problem. It's me. The problem is me. And the problem is I've been trying. I mean, look, church, Yoda got this theology better than we did. If a green little puppet can understand these things, you and I ought to get it. Yoda said what? There is no... Look at that. Hey! There is no try. You either what? That's it. There is no try. There is no try with Jesus. We cannot try to be like Jesus. We die to ourselves and we let Jesus shine in us. That's what we can do. That's what we can do. So look, when you're under pressure, Lord, help me be stronger. Or, hey, Lord, you know this problem I'm dealing with? How about you just take me out of it and let Jesus fill my heart so completely all the way to the brim there's no room for me in my mess? Hey, Lord, how about you just empty me of me and all my selfishness and all my earthly and fleshly desires and fill me up to the brim with the Spirit of Jesus Christ so that there is no more room for my sinful urges? Now, practical application, what's that going to look like? Well, that's probably going to look like I'm going to be spending more time in prayer than looking, listening at things I shouldn't be. Practical application, when I am under pressure and I am having bad thoughts about those people around me, and I'm praying, whew, Lord, there it is again. So whatever's in me that's having those bad thoughts about them, whether they are thoughts of lust or they are thoughts of vengeance, whatever it is, or just, you know, ill will, whatever. Lord, those thoughts, that's me. That's a mind set on the flesh. Father, fill me up with the Spirit of Christ so that my mind is what? Focused on the Spirit. Less of me is what I'm saying. You and I got to quit trying to be like Jesus because we are all failures. We are all failures. And you and I know this. We know this, but we get pressured to trust ourselves. And we are not trustworthy. Are we trustworthy when it comes to our own sins? The answer is no. The answer is no. Can any of us save us from our own sins? Again, the answer is no. So I have to trust Jesus to be Savior, right? I have to trust His death on my behalf to save me from my sins. I have to trust His Spirit living and dwelling in me to shine light out of this darkness so that when I am under pressure, I don't just go back to old things. I don't go to sinful and underhanded ways, that I will continue to love and forgive and sacrifice and be faithful and do what is right and say what is right. Church, we got to stop trying to be like Jesus. And we have to let Jesus be in us. Now, if you're still confused, it's okay. You pray on that. I'm not good enough to change you in 30 minutes. That's why I went an extra 5 minutes today, okay? So, all right. So, I want you to hear this. We're going to stay in 2 Corinthians, and I want us to see the next thing that Paul says here. All right? So, all of these things, here's the conclusion. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. Because all this stuff is true. So, Paul writes the word, so, if all that is true, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Day by day. Day by day. Today's a new day. I get up and say, Lord, today's a new day and I need less of me in it. Fill me with Jesus. Lord, I'm going to face some pressure today and I know one thing. I'm not good at it. Less of me today. Renew me today. Fill me with Jesus. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and be at home with the Lord. So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Church, do not lose heart under pressure. You are prepared for more. You are prepared for more. When you struggle under pressure, quit trying to be like Jesus. Let Jesus be your Lord and Savior. That's what you do under pressure. You let Him be your Lord and Savior. Let His life live in you. Church, every single day we must accept His grace for our sins. Every single day we must be filled with the light of His life. So that when we see Him face to face, there is no room for anything of the flesh. Because if we can see it, it's not going with us. Follow the example of His faith. So, if you are or have been or just tired of being someone that just keeps on trying to be like Jesus and just keeps on failing every single day, stop. Stop. Trust God's word. He's told us what we need to know. We have to trust it. We have to trust it. If you've been trying to be like Jesus and you just live a guilt-ridden existence of I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. Good news, you're not good enough. I'm not good enough. Terry's not good enough. And that's saying a lot. Because Terry's pretty good. But Terry's not good enough. Jesus died for your sins. That's why we put our faith in Him and Him alone. The only name given to us through whom we must be saved. We have a Savior. And if you've been living a Christian existence where you show up and you go, I got this. No, you don't. You're wrong. You got nothing. Because you're the same one that needs a Savior. Let Jesus be your Savior. And when He's working in your life and you really, truly are being led by His Spirit and not your own, yes. And if that's you, number one, thank the Lord for how much good He's doing in your life. And number two, I want to see you hitting the head with a rock and you keep on getting out there and telling other people about Jesus. Because I know we're not doing enough of that. Quit trying to be like Jesus. When you and I make our confession and you and I die to ourselves and die to the flesh and die to sin in our baptism, we are raised to a new creation, a new life. And that new creation and that new life is forgiven. Forgiven. We accept the blood of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Our debt is paid. When that happens, we are filled and gifted with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Filled. We get His credit for His righteousness that gets put on our record with God. And then we get the light of His life dwelling in us, not the darkness. Let Him live. Let Him live. That's what we're called to do. You trusted Him that day. I need you to trust Him today. You trusted him that day. I need you to trust him tomorrow when the pressure starts pushing in. It is a constant, consistent, ever-growing faith. So, if you need to respond to any of that today, we invite you to come. If you just need to change the way you've been doing it, then today's a good day to apologize and say, Lord, enough of me. Enough of me, because all I want here is Jesus. All right. That's all I got.